Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Paul, can you hear me?
I can. What's going on today?
Can we start a show
and then we stop it and we got a new show? I don't know what's going on.
You know what? The word is, what were we talking about? This bizarro world, right?
Bizarro world. This is
for people who have been around long enough to remember, you know, like
Seinfeld.
Well, not necessarily. I'm even older than Seinfeld.
Oh. Jeez,
you're the boomer in here, right? I used to be picking up these references real quick. But no, you know, like DC comic books, Marvel,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
We went down the goody-goody-two-shoe superhero thing. Actually, this conversation came up with my wife when we went and saw Deadpool last weekend.
Mm.
Okay. She's like, oh, this was really bloody and like and bizarre and kind of adult and, you know, almost like pornographic. And I said, well, you know, here's the deal. I think everything goes through cycles.
Yes.
You know, comic books. I remember reading comic books and, you know, Superman and Batman and everybody was very wholesome and, you know, women were wearing tight clothes, but they were still not skimpy, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, I got to be like a teenager and that was kind of boring. So all of a sudden, here comes the reinvention of DC Comics and there's the Black Knight series
comes in and,
you know, all of a sudden.
So
how does
that explain two shows today?
Well, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
I'm trying to cut to the show here.
No. So anyway, you know, we live in a bizarro world.
Yes.
Okay, and it seems like we just keep getting more bizarro every minute. And there's actually a character called Bizarro, so go look him up.
There is a bizarre Superman.
There's a bizarro Superman, right.
I was watching a rerun of Seinfeld last night, and they brought that up. And the whole episode was about there's a parallel group that looks just like George and Seinfeld and Kramer, and Elaine's torn between. She says, well, they're the bizarro, like the bizarro.
They're the bizarros. The bizarro kind of like alternative universe.
Yes, right.
You know, or
Spock wears a beard in that one episode.
Right. And that's Star Trek. Right. But speaking of which, I am going to go hear William Shatner on Sunday.
Oh, are you? Wow.
At the temple in Newport Beach.
How cool is that?
Thank you.
Get him on the show.
Thank you, Scott Siegel, for the tickets.
Why aren't you interviewing him? Why isn't he on the show?
Oh, William Shatner?
Yeah, he'd come on.
I don't know
he'd
if I can get
He'd show up to
Bill.
The opening of a door.
I might have to dress up like
that. He'd go anywhere.
I almost made a faux pas. I'm not going to go there.
All right.
No, I almost talked about, like, you know, horse riding and stuff. Never mind. But
you know he's bald as a cue ball. You know that.
Well, so is Sean Connery, but I still think he's the only James Bond, okay? By the way.
You never see him.
By the way, just remind me about the Sean Connery reference because I do want to plug something else I'm involved in next coming up in two weeks.
I'm Bill Shatner. He's a nice guy.
Bill Shatner is a nice guy. I like him. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. So, Scott, if you're listening, I really appreciate
Can
the tickets.
Can I tell you my William Shatner story?
I really appreciate the tickets. And please, even though I'm sitting in the nosebleed seats, can you get me a picture with Bill? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, go ahead. What's your William Shatner story?
Years and years ago, I was in the entertainment industry. I lived up in Studio City, and William Shatner lived around the corner.
Yeah.
Beautiful house. And so my wife and I used to go for a walk at night, and I'd say, that's William Shatner's house right there. And one night, walking by, and she never liked the original Star Trek. She liked the new Star Trek with Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, I used to like your wife.
She hated the original Star Trek. She said it was corny and everything. And so anyway, we're walking on the street. I said, that's William Shatner's house.
She said, green babes from outer space?
She says, William Shatner. He says, he's such a lousy actor. And as she does it, I start cracking up, and I look behind her, and William Shatner is walking his dog, had two Dobermans, right behind her, and he is just cracking up, and is just laughing, and he's like, hi, how are you? Good evening. He walks right by us. My wife felt so embarrassed.
With the Dobermans.
Yeah, with the Dobermans, two Dobermans.
He was very cool about it. The world is bizarre, right? And we are bizarre people who find joy in bizarreness. So it doesn't get any more bizarre than what just happened yesterday with the Super Cheese Day. Oh my God, right?
That's what we were talking about here instead of the show. We were just going on and on and on about this. It's, you know, as I said, watching Ted Cruz give his speech that says, I didn't lose, I really won. And here's this Republican, and his two references are what? FDR and JFK.
Democratic
just
like
nuts.
Pillars.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And the guy for 3 months he's been touting as his best friend in the Senate, his only friend in the Senate, Jeff Sessions, endorses Trump the next day.
How do you step up and reference FDR and then talk about the elimination of the IRS? How exactly do you cancel government agencies and then basically
just like FDR. Oh, wait a minute. FDR built up the government. Okay.
Social Security.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, everything.
Unbelievable. So
the whole idea of big government came from that.
So here's where, you know me, I will bring it back around. We talk about stuff long enough.
Guest has left. He didn't see
anything. My guest is still here. I've known him long enough. I know where he lives, so I will go find him. The thing about it is, it does highlight something that's going on right now that I really have a serious concern about.
Yeah.
And it's this. In our pursuit of eliminating waste in government, mm-hmm. in our pursuit of...
We should eliminate politicians.
That's the first waste in government
we should get rid of.
By the way, what kind of insurance does Cruz have, by the way? It's a rhetorical question. Okay?
Kind of insurance.
They're completely health care covered.
Oh,
they're all
from the government.
But that's going to eliminate Obamacare and all of this stuff, right? Give me
yours,
a friggin' break with the hypocrisy,
mine, yeah, right?
But people eat it up. Bizarre world again. I think we'll keep using that to this show. Like bizarre. Anything happens, bizarre, okay? Bazinga, bizarro, same thing.
I'm still trying to figure out why you showed up 15 minutes late.
Because it was a bizarre world.
Oh, I see. You had nothing to do with anything, just a bizarre
world.
In
my alternate universe, I was actually 15 minutes early. So the thing about it that really, really worries me, for all seriousness, okay?
Yes.
Is that in our pursuit for over the last decade of vilifying government spending and elimination of social services and eliminating, you know, everything from adult...
adult entertainment.
No, protective services,
oh, yeah.
Things of that nature, overloading the people that provide these services because we're somehow... saying, no, none of these, this is all waste, this is all government waste, this is all stuff that we should do, right? Well, here's the reality, boys and girls. Orange County is the largest concentration, we talked about this last week, right? The largest concentration of seniors per capita in the whole country. Not Florida, which is sort of, I kind of know where that came from.
Not Arizona.
You know, it's been a long time since the Golden Girls. But California's Orange County is the largest concentration of seniors and elderly. And seniors and elderly, by the way, as far as demographic numbers labeling goes, is 50 plus. If you think of AARP, they start sending you stuff at the age of 50. So, yes, I'm 51. I don't feel like I have the label, and we talk about the senior and elderly or whatever. However, technically, 50 on is senior.
Right.
The average age.
Because we haven't come up with another term for
right.
it, and we haven't been able to separate 50 from 90. They're all the same.
But whether we come up with a label, and I refer back to Ellen Skaggs, who was here as the chair for the National Aging in Place Council of Orange County. We don't necessarily need a label. I'm not. That's no problem. Even if we don't have a label, the realities of people getting older, okay, changes their needs. And the needs that we have as a society as a whole, as a country as a whole, and maybe more in a concentrated space like Orange County, which has this aging population,
right.
okay, is that we have a need for these services that are getting cut left and right and sideways because we have basically just said enough government spending, government is too big, blah, 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 and we're taking a friggin' machete and we're slashing at programs that actually are in need. And if anything, we'll be more in need as we proceed.
I love it when I was watching MSNBC and they were talking about they had several Tea Partiers on, Tea Party representatives, and the host was saying, so you're against all socialist policy? Absolutely. How about Social Security? Well, no, don't take away my Social Security. Right.
Right. Right.
That's just socialist. That's just, don't take away my Medicare.
I don't want to pay any more taxes, but I want more control of having my own police and my own fire and my own school district, but I don't want to pay more taxes. I mean, it's like bizarre world.
Bizarre
okay. You know,
world.
We need to reinstitute the basics of economics in every friggin' high school in
we
the
need
country,
to get
right?
Rod Gontes running for office here. That's just
you want to run me for office?
That's the only option here.
I will be eliminated.
You mean by mysterious lone gunman or anything?
I think there would be a grassy knoll in my future.
Oh, wow.
Here's the
Someday
thing.
We'll talk about the grassy knoll. I visited the grassy knoll.
Did you find it?
I've been there, actually.
Did you find the magic bullet?
Someday I'll tell you my whole story.
Okay, all right. So how does this tie with our guest, Freddie Dominguez?
I can't see how.
I'll tell you how it ties in. Because what is that line from Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind, frankly, I get along.
No, that's you. I get along. Something about the kindness of strangers?
Oh, no, that's not from that. Oh, that's from that? Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, Streetcar. Okay, sorry. So go ahead. What's the line?
I rely on the kindness of strangers.
Okay. So I rely on
Blanche
the kindness. I rely on the kindness of strangers. Thank you for correcting me. I have all these years.
Still Vivian Leigh. You got the right actress.
Okay, wrong movie. Okay. What do I know? So I'm a boomer. Wannabe. Right. So... thank you for the lesson.
You haven't seen that with Kim Novak and Carl Malden and...
do I need to throw a bucket of water on you?
Wow, that's just a great
I know movie. Enough about Vivian Leigh, so...
Marlon Brando.
Okay, cool you down. But we do get by the help of strangers. We get by people like Freddie Dominguez here, who basically is Community Outreach Director for Attentive Care, right? Freddie?
Yeah.
So
I'm going to get Freddie close to it.
Yeah, Freddie, the mic doesn't bite. Get close to it. Okay, we do, but the mic doesn't. So basically, I've known Freddie for about 8 years, okay? And Freddie's got an interesting background, and he's got interesting personal pursuits, and he kind of ties into kind of what we talk about, where people pursue their passion.
How would you meet somebody who does home care, unless you're in need of those services?
Well, in 2008, when I got certified aging in place, I pretty much just threw myself into everything that had to do with seniors. And wouldn't you say that the circle was kind of smaller?
Actually, the circle is very small in the senior care industry. Everyone knows each other, so.
Right. Mm-hmm. So even we have Buddy Lieberman, we have people that basically put on events. Freddie puts on networking events too south here, and I think also because Attentive Care, Rick Davis, isn't he down by me?
Yes, actually he lives in San Clemente.
Yeah, so
our office is in Santa Ana.
Right, but I mean the guy who basically formed Attentive Care,
exactly.
Rick Davis, hi Rick, basically lives in my neck of the woods. So it's a very small circle, Paul, to answer your question. So I ran into Freddie at probably one of the events at Sunrise or somewhere about 8 years ago. Well, the interesting thing about this is I have the opportunity today to actually sit back and reflect with Freddie about what it was like and what it is today. Because I don't know if you agree with me, the need for this kind of sort of alternative form of support, care, hasn't gotten less. It's actually gotten more.
Actually more, because the baby boomers at this point.
8 years ago, we said baby boomers and people said who?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Well, and we live in a bizarre world where suddenly we're not ready for this and we don't even want to talk about it. We don't want to face it.
Also,
we don't want to deal with it.
And also people don't plan for it because they think that they're going to be healthy forever. No, not me. It's not going to happen to me. And then all of a sudden they fall, something happens, they end up in the hospital, and guess what? They're going to need help.
So the bizarre world is, the analogy is, we need it more than ever. We're going to need it increasingly, and yet increasingly we don't want to face it, talk about it, deal with it. We want to cut back all sorts of government subsidies. We don't want to talk about any sort of support programs. So we're moving in two completely opposite directions.
Completely opposite directions, yes. And also, too, you see that need, and also you see the difference because we're talking about people not planning. Well, there's like 1 or 2% of the people that have long-term care insurance, and those people, when that time comes and they have insurance, you see that difference between not only the seniors that they need the care, but the family, how they are. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry.
We've talked about this. I don't have long-term care, and it's probably scary because my mother had Parkinson's disease that may run in the family. I have a little early stage of it myself, perhaps, here, I don't want to face it.
Because
at this point,
government, yes, it provides benefits, but it's not exactly. They've been cutting a lot for seniors, but there's not really that many services. That's one reason I'm part of the...
Give a little background about yourself, Freddie, because you do so much on so many levels. I mean, yes, you are the director of community outreach for Attentive Care, but...
And what is Attentive? I don't even know what
Attentive Home Care. Attentive Home Care basically was based... it started 17 years ago, founded by Rick Davis. So we're one of the top companies, and basically we cover from Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, all the way down to San Diego.
Okay, and what do you do?
We provide caregivers for the elderly.
Okay.
But we're not the typical company that you find out there.
Okay.
We go above and beyond taking care of seniors. Basically, we protect our seniors as well as our employees, our caregivers.
You think you actually look at yourselves as protecting them as well as your employees?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The reason I say that is because basically most companies, up to this point, there were no regulations. Mm-hmm. There were no regulations in the senior care industry. So most companies, they were just doing business under the table.
Until this year, actually, right?
Until this year, correct. Yeah, right. So most companies were just doing business. Anybody that got a business license, that's it. They were on business.
That's right. Unregulated industry.
Exactly.
Yes. Wild West.
Exactly. So Atente Home Care was the founder of the American Board of Home Care, which basically got a group of home care companies together to form a nonprofit organization called American Board of Home Care. And in order to be a member, they have to basically prove every 6 months, every year, to make sure that they submit all the paperwork, that they have to be licensed, bonded, insured, that they have liability insurance, they have workers' comp, most importantly, workers' comp. Because 90% of the companies out there, still at this point, do not have workers' comp.
Right. The 90% of the companies
80
don't have
to 90%.
Comp, so if they get injured, they're trying to catch some elderly person as they're falling and they twist their back. And
Now, keep in mind, I met him 8 years ago. We're still until today, until this year, we had no regulations. So Attentive Home Care and with Rick Davis, they self-regulated because they wanted to make sure there was some sort of a benchmark for quality.
For quality, exactly.
Outstanding.
So basically, those companies, and up to this point right now, there's a law that came into effect a year and a half ago. But basically, the law says that as soon as a caregiver steps into the senior's home, guess what? The senior becomes the employer, not the company, if that company doesn't have workers' comp.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
So the poor senior citizen has to take the liability.
Exactly. But the problem is that those companies do not tell them. They only say that they're licensed and bounded. But that's it. They don't explain the workers' comp part.
So I'm going to go in to help some elderly person, and one of the common complaints is falling.
Exactly.
And believe me, when my mother and dad were falling when they were still alive, it was hard catching them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And sometimes we both went down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then their injuries can happen right away. If the caregiver doesn't have workers' comp, guess what? The senior is liable for everything.
So you ask them to come in and help you. You're paying them to come in and help you. And instead, you end up with a lawsuit where that employee sues.
Well, and I shared this with you, Paul, a long time ago about when I was going to get my certified aging in place certification. This was, again, 2008 is when I got it. I had to go to Chicago to do the certification because it wasn't offered here, which is now looking back, and we just said this is the largest concentration of seniors in the country. It's kind of insane that it's still hard to get this dang thing here,
It's in Chicago.
Let me just point out this, right? One story that stuck with me from the instructor is he was dealing with this with his dad, who was in Nevada, and this guy lives in, like, you know, Midwest, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He had caregiving company come in and help his dad, and it wasn't medical help. It was just, you know, his mom had passed away, so he needed help with the house, vacuuming and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Okay. They plug the vacuum clear into the wall, and there's sparks that come out of the electrical plug. So the caregiving company pulls the actual caregiver out of the house because guess what? It's an unsafe work environment.
Right.
So to Freddie's point, yes, you have to make sure that the environment in which the care is given is not just the benefit of the person receiving the care, but that actually the caregiver can actually deliver in a safe work environment. So if you don't care as an agency to look into it that deeply, you'll set people in all kinds of things. They're there for whatever period. Something happens. You know, that grab bar is not really installed correctly, that they're working within tight confined areas that maybe could have been adjusted but weren't. And everybody suffers.
And that brings me up to the next point. Because of that, actually, for every case, we always go and do a home assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we meet with the client one-on-one in the family.
Right.
And then we don't only see the client's needs, but we see the whole picture, basically.
Right.
And then that's the first assessment. We send the caregivers to be trained before discharge at the hospital so they know how to do it and the patient needs rehab. So the caregivers know exactly what to do when they go home and also know the medications, because when the patients get discharged from the hospital, guess what? They have no clue all the medications they
have. No, just got a bag and
exactly. To do it. So they get home, they don't know what to take. So basically,
or they forget.
Yeah. Well, within a week, for every case, it's a week or longer, we have a care manager She is master's educated. She has a master's in geriatrics and master's in social work. And that's actually very unique. There's few companies that do that.
So you must be millions of dollars. I can't afford a tent of home care. You must be like just
actually,
Cadillac service
no.
here.
We are one of the most competitive companies
out there. After all that?
After all that, yes.
Wow.
So basically our geriatric care manager goes to the house, does a care plan, and does follow-up visits to make sure that the clients are taken care of. Because also, too, there's clients that the family lives out of state.
Right. A lot of those,
exactly. So she is in charge of those patients and making sure that everything
How are we going to fund all this? So not everybody can afford even basic care. I mean, so many seniors are going to be... I look at my own life. I stop working at some point, and then I have to live off of 30 years off of what I got. I'm going to be out of money.
Well, right now, actually, at this point, it's mostly private pay. Mm-hmm. But you see that it's moving towards the insurance.
It's got to somehow.
Yes,
I mean,
to insurance.
I know we can't afford anything and stop. You know, everybody wants to stop everything and cut it all off. But we have the largest demographic boom ever born in America, aging rapidly, that doesn't have much money saved, that does less than 1 out of 10 of them have even a pension to support themselves anymore here. And what? They're going to have to pay for all these? And they're going to live longer on less money with no pensions? Come on, it's just going to crash.
Right.
Well, actually, the hospital...
Meanwhile, let's cut stuff out.
Exactly. That's always in this cut out. Well, actually, the hospitals right now are getting... There's a lot of changes in the hospitals and the skilled nursing facilities and home health. I'm actually very involved with the readmissions program with many hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So hospitals are getting penalized if the patient comes back within a month.
We talked about this.
They have two different, actually. Right now, they have the 1 month, and they have the hip and knee replacement, which is 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
So hospitals are going to have a bundle payment for each of those patients, and hospitals will be responsible for payment too as well.
So who pays? Where does the cost transfer to? Is it going onto the patient?
No. Right now,
who covers the bonded?
This is the hospital. Whatever the Medicare hospital charges Medicare will give an X amount of money for each patient. And from that amount of money, basically, the hospital has to manage the
Was I wrong in hearing when Obamacare was being debated that there was a lot of discussion about home care and other options? Because one, they think it's cheaper to keep people at home, and two, it's more effective.
Yes.
And there was a lot of discussion about beefing that up, and then what I heard is the hospitals or insurance companies or somebody came along and squashed that, so that did not get added in. But there was some discussion of that.
There's still some program. There's changes. I don't know the specifics, but they're still trying to figure out what to do. But the main goal is to keep the seniors at home. They come to the hospital, have surgeries, and then go home after that.
Same problem we faced after World War II, when suddenly we had an aging population. Life expectancy went up because the level of health went up in the country here. We had a dramatic boom after everybody came back. And they quickly realized that if people are going to live longer, there's only three choices. Either they've got to save enough money to take care of themselves, or the families have to take care of themselves, or the government has to take care of them, or the businesses, whoever they work for. I guess there's four choices. And that's when they created Social Security in the 40s because without that, you were getting too many people who were going to end up on welfare, and then we're going to end up taking care of many. They're going to be just from a financial sense, it's going to be a drag on society.
I'm okay with you want to cancel Social Security, you want to cancel welfare. Okay, fine. What's your alternative?
Yeah,
there's no alternative.
There's no alternative. All I'm hearing is we're going to eliminate. I'm not hearing anything other than, it's a trickle-down approach.
That's right. We're going to rip every word out of Obamacare, but I don't have anything to replace.
The churches will take care of it. Actually,
with Obamacare, seniors got a little bit more benefits at this point.
They did.
They got a little bit more choice. So there's a little more benefits for them. Basically, their medications now, remember what happened with the medications, that law that was before that they couldn't get anything. So now their medications are covered. So there's a lot of many different things that seniors are benefiting from. But it's still, home care, still going back to home care, is still private.
Right.
There's nothing at this point. So the VA has some programs.
What would you budget I know you don't want to get this ugly word out there, but let's say...
Does it actually matter? The cost is only going up every day.
I know. I'm just trying to get some idea. Like, for example, I have a 91-year-old aunt who's struggling. She lives alone. She doesn't have any children or anything else. I'm her sole support. She lives a couple hours away, so I can't be there that often. And we're struggling with this right now. Mm-hmm. She can't afford... She gets maybe $2,500 a month. Total between... She does get a little pension from her 40 years as a secretary. She gets a little bit of Social Security, and combined she gets $2,500 a month. Her rent's probably $1,500 a month. There's $1,000 left over here. What could she get for that? What should she budget for that? Would she get anything for that?
With home care, well, if she needs...
I'll give you a real life... There's a real life case right there. We're struggling.
Okay, you're struggling. Well, what she can do is basically have respite care, meaning 4 hours every day or every other day, so someone to come in to help them. Mm-hmm. Because right now, the average rate is between $20 to $25, $26 an hour. Right. Basically, that's the average rate.
So it costs her $100 to have somebody come in.
Exactly.
That's the rate that's covered, right?
That's the rate in general right now.
But if I actually have long-term care insurance, isn't there a daily rate?
No, the long-term care insurance, how it works, is basically the insurance, whenever you get the policy, they give you an X amount of money per day.
Well, that's what I mean. How is that X amount of money per day compared to what it actually costs? Because it's like a rental car.
Exactly.
And when I take it into the garage, right? I can get a $20 a day rental car. Now, in the case of the car, I can do with a compact instead of a large one. In the case of care, I can't cut down the size of my care based on that. So is what is allocated realistic?
Well, it depends on the policy. There's policies that are a couple hundred dollars a day. There's policies that are $200, $300. Which would depends, but even if it's a $300 a day, it doesn't cover the 24-hour fee right now. Right now, for a 24-hour care,
you're selling me insurance that doesn't.
It's a $500 a day right now, because what happens 2 years ago, actually, because there was the living allowance for a caregiver to be there for 24 hours, be able to sleep. So at that time, we were charging $200, $220 a day.
For 24-hour care?
For 24 hours.
Okay.
That was 2 years ago. Well, a year ago, everything changed. Basically, the labor law came into place, and then they passed a law saying that the caregivers cannot work more than 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
After 9 hours, they have to get paid overtime.
So if she wakes up in the middle of the night and needs help, that's overtime.
Exactly.
You've worked for 8 hours, theoretically. Even though during that 8-hour shift... This is what, the latter days of my father, we tried having somebody come in a little bit, my mother, and my dad was furious because he needed a little respite, so he'd go out and play golf or do something, or grocery shopping, and somebody would watch my mom.
And that's extra?
And that was extra, and then he'd come home and say, what did she do? And nothing, she just sat and watched TV the whole time. Waited for my mom to need something, and if my mom didn't need anything, you just paid for a body to sit there for 3 hours and read a book or watch TV.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why you have to have the caregivers that are proactive to make sure that, because our caregivers not only, they focus 80% of the time on the client, mm-hmm. but 20% they can do house chores. They can do basically anything else in the house.
Yeah, because this woman wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's why you have to make sure
she
that
just
you
sat there
someone that is proactive.
She was on deck if we needed her.
Well, going back to the rates, or the basically how we work, we mm-hmm. have anything between 4 and 12 and 8 hour shift or 9 hours with no overtime. Then if it's a 12-hour shift, then after that 9 hours, it's 3 hours overtime.
Mm-hmm.
If they need 24 hours, mm-hmm. they can either do 3 caregivers, 8 hours each, mm-hmm. no
shifts,
overtime,
right?
Exactly. Or they can do 2 caregivers with 6 hours overtime.
But overtime what? Double time?
Time and a half. So basically, it's 12 hours, 9 hours regular, then after that, it's time and a half. So at the end of the day, it's $500.
What happens? What happens for transportation and stuff like that? Is that extra?
Everything is included, actually. Well, the transportation, if they use the client's car, there's no charge. If they use the caregiver's car, there's 58.5 cents per mile.
So they get mileage if they use their
own
car.
Exactly.
Okay.
So $500 a day gives you complete coverage. $500 a day times 30 days is $15,000 a month.
That's the reality right now.
Yikes.
And how much is are you getting paid? A portion of that through the Maryland show. So
my aunt only collects $2,500 gross, and $1,500 has to go to rent. So
well, it goes. Minus taxes. Why ask the question about what the insurance is giving you as a stipend and what you basically
Is each policy is different. I cannot really tell you exactly
But even on the high end.
Even in the high end, will not cover.
It's not going to cover.
It's not going to cover.
It's just going to
exactly. So that's why
some of it.
Yeah, it's going to cover some part of it, but also too, there's different other things that they can do. They don't have to stay home. They can basically go to a boarding care, which is a 6-bed,
right,
which averages around $4,000 or $5,000, or they can go on assisted living, which around $6,000 to $10,000.
But you say that so casually. There are tons of my aunts out there. I may become one of my aunts out there that doesn't have that's today's dollar that doesn't have $5,000-$6,000 a month.
Well,
I don't know who has $5,000-$6,000.
Exactly, and it's very difficult. So in those cases, there is the state of California, which they have to apply for Medi-Cal.
That's all right. We looked into that. You have to have less than $2,000 or less in your total assets, and you can't just wipe her assets out and say, well, here, we're going to pay off this and give money away or something. She has like $20,000, and that disqualifies her, which still makes her pretty poor, but she doesn't have so poor. You have to get so poor that you have zero left. And they look at it over a 3 or 5 year period, so you can't just suddenly go in and say.
Okay, so this is why I keep harping on this.
I mean, I'm not picking on
caregiving agencies.
There's a
fundamental problem. Okay, when I buy insurance for my car, okay, when I get my car in an accident, if I pay my deductible, my car gets fixed.
Right.
I don't get a portion towards the repair. I get the car fixed if it's not my fault.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
I'm buying insurance to do that. Well, how come when it comes to medical cost, we don't have an insurance that stands true to the word insurance? I'm paying into something to cover me.
I'll give you my opinion. Escalating so fast they can't calculate the cost.
Is that really the case? It's always been like that.
No. But also, too, guess what? Insurance are there to make money. And especially,
thank you.
They're there to make money.
Right. I have no problem with people making money, but if I'm going to pay good dollars into an insurance policy that I expect to be there for me when I need it, just like I do with my car insurance, it's not like it's a foreign concept. Every one of us has it for their cars. Okay, have it for health. Have it for care.
I'll give you the one exception, though, that to that rule. It's the other one that they can't figure out. Another ugly one that nobody wants to talk about, which is earthquake coverage. Most insurance companies pulled out of it, particularly after some of the big disasters in Florida, the giant hurricanes and all that stuff. People have pulled out of that stuff because the cost is so out of control and so expensive, they can't even figure out what it would cost. What would it cost to cover everybody's house in an earthquake? How big is that damage? How far going? Look at the rate of houses and stuff here. They can't calculate that cost, and therefore they don't even want to play that game and insure it.
You're saying this is different, and I'm saying it's not. The numbers may be bigger. It's not. No, I'm not.
It's not.
Okay, it's not. It is not. I'll tell you why. Because when you total your car, they've already factored that in. Totaling your house from an earthquake or totaling your car from an accident. It's a totaling loss of asset.
You're looking at potentially millions and millions and millions of dollars because all of a sudden people are living longer. The cost is going through the roof. New procedures are being created that cost millions of dollars, medications and procedures and stuff. And I just don't think they've got a handle on it.
No,
if they
can
put a number to it, they could then spread it out and spread the risk.
Yeah, but what is the difference between me paying money to an insurance company? I'm being devil's advocate.
Cars are pretty fixed
costs.
Also, to hold on, let me give you an example. Also, cars, actually, everyone that has a car has to have insurance.
Right.
Not every senior elderly has insurance. So, you know what? They have such a small pool of people that are buying insurance that then basically those are ones that need it.
Keep going. I'm bringing you to this exact point, right? We are about to eliminate a necessitating thing that says you have to have health insurance. Right? And we just
you mean if they get rid of Obamacare.
Right. Or affordable health care, whatever, okay?
Right.
I don't have a problem calling him Obama. I think he did a great given the circus that's freaking going around right now, that man basically for 8 years maintained the integrity of the office, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Regardless what you think of him. Okay? So here's the thing. Okay. So what did we just accept? We accepted the fact that if you had enough people that had long-term health care insurance and caregiving coverage, right, we would be able to provide that service.
If there was a big enough pool.
So yes, there's the risk.
Exactly, because
bizarro world again.
Well, yes. That was the whole premise of and by the way, I don't know why I have to keep reiterating this, but Obamacare came out of RomneyCare, which came out of the American Heritage
Foundation. Yes.
Heritage Foundation, which is the right-wing group that supports most of this stuff. This was the alternative to single payer to what Bernie calls Medicare for everyone, which is what they do in most European countries and what they do in Canada. This was the alternative. This was the market-driven thing.
And Europeans.
The idea is you force everybody to do it, even people who are healthy, to get insurance, and then that pays for the sick people.
Yeah. So basically that's...
Because not everybody is going to need it at the same time.
Same thing with car insurance.
Right? I mean, it's the same
also
thing.
They force you to have
auto insurance.
Why the heck do we have actuaries? I mean, isn't that their job to risk calculate, risk right. manage?
But not that many people know about long-term care insurance too as well.
They procrastinate.
Not that many people. So that's why basically they is not something that many people prepare
but
for.
But I agree with Rod. I think the few people who looked into it, and I've looked into it, I wonder if I'm just buying earthquake insurance. I don't have earthquake insurance on my house because it's so expensive and it gives you so little.
How often have we had an earthquake?
Well, when we have one,
when you need the insurance, we have had the same false argument about health care for as long as I remember, and we crossed the Rubicon on it with
also
Obamacare.
Let me give you an example. Actually, I have long term care insurance. My company provides me with long term care insurance.
Great guys, I'm going to work for your company.
Yeah, we're coming to work for you.
Yeah,
and not only that, actually, we take care of our employees. Every single employee is a W-2 employee.
Wow.
They're not
all 1099s? I thought that's what I'll let you have two employees in a company with 10 million people, and you got two paid employees.
90% of the companies are that. No, not us.
Yeah.
Every single one is a W-2 employee.
We're challenging, and you keep proving you're a good guy here.
I said I'm not picking on the caregiving company.
No, it's good.
This is how these caregiving companies are going to get paid.
I like that.
We're actually saying provide more resources so people like Freddie, when you're basically being a little bit too myopic and short-sighted and eliminating services that are governmentally provided, we are going to depend on the likes of Attentive Home Care to basically provide.
Actually,
that.
I like to pick on because I can prove you wrong, and I can... I can tell you, okay, you know
I'm
what?
I'm trying to get the guy more money, and he basically keeps running me around. Yeah.
So going back to basically to the employees, yes. And that's what we have, 4-hour minimum per visit, to make sure that our caregivers get full-time. Everyone that is a full-time employee gets full benefits, which we are the only home
full
care company.
Benefits. Nobody
yes.
gives full benefits.
Medical, dental, 401k.
McDonald's doesn't give
and
full
benefits. And guess what?
You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You want quality care to be passed on to your customers and your clients? How do you basically... And this is a problem
that's
with hospitality,
that's why we have the best
caregivers. How do you not take care of the people that provide? I used to have the same argument with people that were operators of 5-star hotels. Mm-hmm. Okay? We would go in and do $1 million renovations for things, and they would basically then... be very stingy with what the staff break room would look like.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I'm sorry, your clients are doing what? They're coming to this, like, you know, tropical environment. They're leaving their Rolex Oyster Perpetual on the counter. They're
yeah.
leaving the iPad on the counter. They're leaving all this stuff on the counter, going out to the sandy beach, coming back very unfettered, very relaxed. You're providing that environment. And the people that actually deliver on my martini or whatever at the beach or my Bloody Mary, when I think of it, boom, it appears like, you know, what is
right.
that little... The new insurance company thing,
yes, right.
mm-hmm. Farmers, whatever. So, or State Farm. If you are dependent on people to deliver that service to your client, if you're dependent on your caregivers to provide that quality care, how do you underpay or not take care of the people that provide?
You have to take care of employees.
It's a good business practice.
I make more money.
Exactly. And but
charge more, pay less.
My last point for our employees. Actually, our 401k
feel the burn
is 6% match.
Wow.
So that tells you how we do it.
I applaud you for what you're doing and all of that, but I still say there's got to be a bigger solution. Not everybody can afford $5,000 a month when it needs to be
exactly.
$10,000 or $15,000.
That's what we have to
and
figure out.
And that's today's rate.
Yes.
I don't know what it's going to be in 20 or 30 years.
Yes.
Higher,
most
that.
Likely, yes.
Yeah.
And that, because of that, I'm very involved with a lot of actually community groups.
List some of them, Freddie. I think it's very important.
Well, so I'm
3 minutes left.
Well, I'm the Council of Advisors for the Senior Care Hero Awards. which is actually this is going to be the sixth year.
Didn't know there was such a thing.
Yes. It is basically to recognize the people that go above and beyond, taking care of the elderly.
Why don't we have the heroes on here?
We can line up some of them.
Yeah, let's get some heroes on
here.
Well,
let's get it. I said I'm a consult advisor. I can call them and figure out, and bring them here.
Yeah.
So we have basically best doctors of the year, case managers, social workers. There's a list going on.
Okay.
Many different categories. And it's once a year. It's at the Grove of Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And all the proceeds go to Meals on Wheels, Senior Serve, which
Wonderful.
Is based in
Meals
Anaheim.
On Wheels is a phenomenal program. Keeps my aunt alive.
Last year, we actually net $140,000 for Meals on Wheels.
Wonderful.
Rattle match that.
Okay, yeah, that will be okay. Sounds good. I'll hold you to that one. All right. So
you tell them what
do
you
I look
collected.
Like? I own a high rise tower in the middle of New York City. No, I don't think so.
Okay, come on. I need more money for the seniors.
He's
for
got
Meals
the little
Wheels.
Ascot in his little pocket. And
Ascot goes around your neck.
Actually, I'm going to need your
pocket square.
Pocket square.
I'm going to need your help actually to
Dave Welsh. I need you to call
to get some vendors.
Call in and educate.
I don't know.
Well, that's one. Then I'm also committee chair for Torrance Senior Village Program, which provides transportation and services, basic services for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Another amenity that we are very badly
in
need of.
About it all the time. How do you get them around? How do you get them to the doctor?
How do we get?
All of these are volunteers. Basically, they pay a membership around $500 a year, and then they get volunteers to take him to doctor's appointments to provide because one problem with seniors, especially, is that they don't really get anybody to come and visit them.
Right.
No.
And that's what this village program does, actually. There's also a Buena Park Village program. There's Senior Serve has like three or four in Orange County as well, too.
Okay. 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay.
Well,
I'm the chair for the Alzheimer's Walk, too, as well. Okay.
Before you get off that, yes, he is the chair for Alzheimer's Walk, and we're going to have Patty Mouton on this month as well. Patty, if you're listening, I can't wait to have you on here. We just had a village effort started in San Clemente, and I want to give a shout out to Kathy Carcidi, who is a friend, and then all the people that she's building together. This is something that is extremely important because we have no support system for life enhancing, not life sustaining, life enhancing activities. We have all this literature about how to talk to my parents about giving up their driving license, but then what do I do after I get them to give it up?
Do I
now take them all over the place? Where does the transportation come
Big
from?
Big problem.
Okay, one more thing actually before we end. There's a new law that just took effect, as you mentioned earlier, that now all the companies have to be registered with the Department of Social Services.
Mm.
So each one has to have a number, actually, that they submitted their paperwork and everything. So they're going to buy... In a couple of months, they have to be basically licensed. They're going to get their license. So my advice to all the people out there, whoever is going to use a home care company, they have to make sure that they're registered. And also, too, the caregivers have to be registered as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I have to ask you one last question. It has nothing to do with this. Where's the accent from? You have all these women are texting in right now, wanting to know where this.
You should see the comments on his headshot on
Latin,
Facebook.
This Latin accent.
What do you think? The accent from...
It's I would say like Argentina or something. But
no, actually, I'm Mexican.
You are. It doesn't sound at all. I mean, it sounds more. I know there are great big differences between different Hispanic accents, and this one sounds to me more South American, but it doesn't. Okay.
No,
And he does have the beard going, even though he doesn't have as much seasoning as you and I do in the gray,
but
right?
Argentina.
But he does.
Actually, it's getting there. Look, it's getting there.
A little more, you know.
By the way, it looks good because I remember you when you didn't have it on. It actually works for you. You can carry it well. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
So I think the point here is that, again, we've had caregivers on caregiving agencies and referral agencies on here. And it's all great, and I applaud every single one of them. And the way they do it is different in every case, so I encourage everybody to really do their research before they tie into somebody. I think Freddie and Attentive Home Care is definitely a special way of dealing with stuff that I've known for a long time, so they come with my highest recommendation. But I think you really need to educate yourself. But think about what happens after, and what happens when the numbers that we're dealing with today are 10 times...
That's why I say we're just headed towards a real...
Including us.
Real
I mean, every single
it's just
one of
the
us...
Beginning.
In
it's just the
firm.
Beginning right now.
Yeah.
Because all the baby boomers are coming, and it's just the beginning.
So this kick the can down the road, we got to stop kicking the can down the road and actually putting our neck out and taking on something.
And it starts with talking about it, which is what this whole...
Which is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Freddie, thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you for having me.
And again, I will have you back, and let's get some of those heroes on here. I think
I mean,
either if they're nominated or after, whatever, but let's work that. I'd love to have that.
Yeah, definitely. And actually... we're going to start setting up the meetings for next year.
Right. So, how do they reach you, Freddie?
Well, my phone number, 562-489-6505.
All the ladies are writing this down right for the ladies.
Say it again for all the ladies.
562-489-6550. Okay. Or my email, freddie@attentivecare.com.
Okay. F-E-R-D-E-Y.
Yeah, it's 1D.
1D.
Give out the website for Attentive Care, too.
Okay, and it's www.attentivehomecare.com.
Just like it sounds.
Just as it sounds.
Thank you, Freddie. I really appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.